Welcome to Outposts, a late-night broadcast from the cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over and every evening is pleasant. When you turn off the main highway onto Old Field Road and go all the way to the end, nestled comfortably between the crook of the tree line and the river is a fine place with good food, contemplative conversation, and smooth jazz. We have a brilliant staff of insightful and resourceful people whose intuition of food and conversation is always surprising. Most of the time I try and get here early to engage the staff, often drawing ideas, vision, and inspiration from our dialogue for the broadcast conversation. The establishment, Outposts, is managed by two brilliant men of outstanding character, insight, and vision, Rick and Jerry. I'm sure you'd find them equally engaging. When you stop in next time, ask to meet them when you get here and enjoy an evening latte on the house. Lovers, friends, associates, and acquaintances. Four types of relationships. An inspiring contrast fit for discussion. A subtle but yet distinct difference worth mentioning. Many have friends, but I'm not sure most of our friendships aren't really much more than just associations. And isn't our society just so prone to calling everyone friend, even when they've never met the person? I think it's also true many who call themselves lovers are not necessarily even friends. Just because someone agrees to meet for sex doesn't mean they qualify as a lover. Friendship is, as we all know, a relationship. But what kind of relationship is it? Friendship is considered to be closer than an association, not as intimate as a true lover, miles more than an acquaintance. I find it peculiar that there is a range of degrees of intimacy in all four types. Not to mention that there are all types of friends, sympathetic, empathetic, and maybe even apathetic. Well, maybe not apathetic. I don't think there is such a thing as an apathetic friend. It would seem to me an apathetic friend is really no friend at all. What sort of friend are you? Who is God to you? Your friend? An association? Is God a lover to you or just an unfamiliar acquaintance? Are you typically empathetic, sympathetic, or apathetic towards others? Who are you anyway? Good questions for sure. Put a pin in that, and I shall return. We are speaking about the four types of relationships: acquaintances, associates, friends, and lovers, as seen in the relationship with God of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. According to a study documented in the June 2006 issue of the journal American Sociological Review, Americans are thought to be suffering a loss in the quality and quantity of close friendships since at least 1985. The study states that 25 to 50% of Americans have no close confidants, and that the average total number of confidants per citizen has dropped from 4 to 2 or less. Research has found a link between fewer relationships, especially in quality, and general progressive psychological decline in America, including the gradual loss of social skills. This speaks to the increase of isolated people all across our country, and then add in the isolation brought about by the advent of the smartphone, I'd say we are far more isolated than we think, and most of us are pretty unaware. As the quantity of friendships and close confidants goes down, the quantity of people who are abandoned, rejected, isolated, and alone goes up. I knew a man who had a school photography business. He was curious where his greatest profit margin was, so he went to a data gathering agency and hired them to tell him where his efforts would pay off the most. The data gathering agency went all over the Southeast gathering info, then returned to their home base, compiled the data, and this is what they had to report. His greatest profit margin was high schools of graduating classes of 100 or less. The next best profit margin was in schools of graduating classes of 100 to 200, then 200 to 300, and 300 and up, which would be his smallest profit margin. My friend went to the library, found all the schools which fit that criteria, and then began his school photography season. Sure enough, at the end of the season, the data gathering company was correct. Out of sheer curiosity, he went back to the company and asked why this was so. They said, "In schools of graduating classes of 100 or less, everyone typically knew everyone else, and the circle of friends was anywhere from 10 to 20. But the larger the graduating class got, the more isolated and alone the students became, the less they saw themselves as important and valuable. More importantly, the schools with graduating classes of 300 or more, the students only had a circle of friends of 2 to 3, max. Otherwise, they were just a number, an impersonal number being processed through a large data stream, just another number in a sea of numbers." Having a friend, a close confidant, takes work and time. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. I wonder who that could be. Is God just an acquaintance to you? Just what would an acquaintance be? Is an acquaintance even as good as an associate? Certainly not a friend. I think it depends on how familiar we are willing to be with God and how open and disclosing of ourselves we are willing for. It is incredible to me the number of believers who claim to be involved with God intimately, yet are not transparent with the Lord nor their friends. We seem to believe we are powerful enough to hide from God, and we are so afraid that if people knew something about us, we would somehow be tarnished. Gosh, how exhausting to control all that information about ourselves simply to maintain a facade of wellness. Familiarity is the result of continued acquaintance. It springs from people frequently being together so as to wear off restraints and reserves, as seen in the phrase, the familiarity of old companions. Intimacy is the result of close connection and the free interchange of thoughts, as in the intimacy of established friendship. I strongly believe God is calling us into a relationship with Him that is more than His just being an acquaintance. Who is Jesus to you? Is He someone you love? Or is He just an acquaintance, someone whom you may know about but haven't entered into a relationship of being familiar with Him, to the place where restraints fall off as you begin to trust Him? Is God just a virtual friend? Maybe a little better, like a coworker whom we may occasionally eat lunch with or have coffee, but would not look to for emotional support. The name of the Lord may be familiar, but we have very little familiarity with Him. My guess is we tend to treat God like we treat each other, and you know, that's a horrible idea in itself. Consider how we treat each other. Hey, even more importantly, consider how we treat ourselves, which speaks loudly about how we treat each other. Most associations are relationships, like business, someone to get something from. Many friends that appear on social networking sites are generally acquaintances or associates in real life. In fact, to me, most of those people on social networking sites we call friends don't even qualify as associates. Therefore, the idea of friend is totally an illusion. They are no more than acquaintances, and probably not even real acquaintances. More virtual acquaintances? Is God just an associate? Someone to get something from? Someone who has something you want? Like the innkeeper of Luke 10:35, he wasn't a friend, not an acquaintance. He was an associate, willing to be involved with the wounded man as long as there was gain to be had. In Revelation 2, 12-17, the Church of Pergamos allowed the doctrine of Balaam to exist in their midst, and we all know Balaam was all about only being involved if there was something to gain. Today, among believers, there are people who are hard workers, staunch, loyal folks who employ steady tenacity. There are people who have strong moral integrity, who are sticklers for truth, all of which God says is a good thing. You are doing the work. You are living the life. But whatever happened to "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine"? The life of a church can't be sustained by hard work, right living, and doctrinal correctness. The life of a Christian is in our love for Christ, who continually reveals His great love for us. Let us not allow ourselves to be gold diggers, only looking to Christ for what He can give us while holding Him at a distance as an acquaintance or only an associate. In 1948, A.W. Tozer wrote, "The whole transaction of religious conversion has been made mechanical and spiritless. Christ may be received without creating any special love for Him in the soul of the receiver. The man is saved, but he is not hungry and thirsty after God." I began my life as a Christian in 1973, and the focus of the church I attended was, above all, to get saved. Standing here today, looking back there at those times, I think I see many who merely possessed fire insurance, in the sense that God was a means of not going to hell. Some used the gospel like a stepping stone, as a means of getting God on their side, like the Lord was being used to get what they wanted. I certainly believe God honored their profession of faith, absolutely. But so much of the possibilities with the Lord were never actually entered into. Is God only your associate in that He has something you want, sharing of yourself only as much as necessary in order to get what makes you happy or safe or feeling like your tomorrows will be okay. You know, of course, happiness is fleeting. Yep, it comes and goes with the wind, but joy is a steady state which is only found in Christ. Right? Why would you settle for such a cautious relationship with someone who has always and only acted for your good? Here in the world, people who only want what you've got and wear the facade of friend, they call them gold diggers, self-centered associates, only allowing relationships based on what they can gain. Personally, I'd like more than the status of being merely an associate with Jesus who calls me lover and friend, died for me and lives again. All for me. I cannot ignore the love of God and only hold Jesus at an associate's level. It's just wrong. In Romans 1:1, Paul calls the Christians in Rome God's friends. In Luke 12:4, Jesus called the 12 my friends. Are you a friend of God? In John 15:15, God no longer calls us servants, but friends, someone he confides in, someone he shares his thoughts with, allowing us to be familiar with him and invites us into a relationship of real friendship. There is unsearchable comfort and peace in being a friend of God. In friendship, God does not close his face to us. He opens his face, or he makes himself knowable to us. He doesn't hold us at a distance as an associate or an acquaintance. Will you call God your friend? Are you willing to be open and honest with him and share your details and thoughts? It has occurred to me that having a friend and being in a close relationship requires us to also be a friend. Then there is the level of relationship called lover. Are you more than a friend of God, but a lover of God? Jesus didn't just die on the cross because he was our friend. He died for us because he loves us and he calls to us to enter in with him to something higher than just friendship. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Am I in a relationship with God that is so close my soul is knit to Jesus? By the blood of Jesus, yes. Am I willing to let that relationship happen, though? From the view of Calvary, where Jesus gave his life, God calls us more than friend. He calls us beloved. Song of Songs 1:7. "Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon." In other words, tell me your details. Let me be involved with how you feel and where you go and what you do, what your dreams are and how you make decisions, what you say and hope. Do we typically share our details with God? Come, let us not only re-friend God, but be his beloved and love him as he loves us. Think about it. Thank you. The evening is winding down to a low hum. All the daylight lovers go to rest when the sun goes down and the world shifts gears from day to night. This is Outposts, contemplative conversation and cool jazz, brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries. Kevin, Perry, and Tommy of the Mebbin Freedom League, Hilltop Boots and Shoes on Fleming Street, and Elisa and Betty of the Opportunity House out Highway 25. Remember, when you're downtown, stop in and meet Jeff and Karen at Trinity Bakers, makers of fine confectionaries where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Minger Quartet, Gary Willis, Michael Borslep, Jim Beard, Lyle Mays, Mitchell Foreman, and Brett Garcet. All music is licensed by BMI. Are you a lover of God, friend of God, an associate, or merely an acquaintance? I think it's wise to take a little inventory of where God sees our relationship with Him. That is, from His point of view, where are you? When He starts talking to you about your relationship with Him, take it seriously. God isn't talking to you for nothing, you know. God calls us friend. Yeah, more than friend. For Jesus has made a way where there was no way. I love these lyrics. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing, all you citizens of heaven above, glory to God in the highest. Come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Drive carefully on your way home. Give God all your breathing, all your thinking, all your feeling, and all your strength. Let Him be your all in all, more than just some pretty much most. Be strong and courageous. Good night, sleep well, and I'll talk to you next time. Thank you.